Nearly 40 years ago, Jane and Michael Stern came up with the term road food to describe the mouth-watering meals and desserts they found driving across the USA. They've tracked down hundreds of the best local diners, ice cream parlors, and barbecue joints in an endless quest for memorable meals that come complete with an authentic local atmosphere. They've just updated their road food guide with even more regional favorites that are guaranteed to make you glad you drove right past those fast food chains on the interstate. And they're with us today on Travel with Rick Steves to take your calls at 877-333-7425 and to share their tips for their favorite road food across the South. Jane and Michael, good to have you back.
Great to be here, Rick.
Terrific. Thanks, Rick.
Now, you guys have been bringing out your road food guide since the late 1970s. What edition is this?
This is the 9th edition of Road Food.
9th edition. Now, how does it change? You've been doing it for so many decades, and you brought out a new edition. How can you improve on it?
Well, each edition gets bigger, and of course, each edition
so
we've
do we.
Got to go... A very good point, Rick.
Okay, so each one gets bigger.
And of course, we bring it up to date. You know, if a restaurant changes or changes its specialties or goes out of business, then we excise it. But in this edition, we've got something brand new, and that is the Road Food Honor Roll.
Ooh.
And that is 100 of the very best regional restaurants from coast to coast, the essential road food restaurants, the creme de la creme,
so
if you will.
This is the first time you've gone up from 700 to 900 places listed, and then you've chosen the 100 very best. What was that like? How did you choose the 100 best?
It was torture. Basically, every one of these 900 restaurants is a place that we think is fantastic and everyone ought to eat at. But what we tried to do is to pick 100 restaurants that just epitomized the cuisine of where they happen to be. I mean, the very best place to get Creole food in New Orleans. The best fried chicken in all the South. I mean, that was our criteria, to pick the best, most exemplary restaurant wherever we were.
Now, that's interesting because when I write my guidebooks, of course, there are good restaurants and there are better restaurants, but it's not as simple as that. You don't want necessarily the best restaurant. You want the best restaurant that connects you with the local culture in your travels, because when you travel in the South, you want something from the South. I was just traveling in North Dakota, and I was amazed at how much fun local cuisine there is in North Dakota, and that would be high on my priority, and I'd want a resource like yours to be sure I knew what not to miss.
Well, that's exactly the point. Of course, it's about delicious food, but it's also about the way it's served and what people think about it. One of the Road Food Honor Roll restaurants, for example, is Bowen's Island, which is an oyster roast outside of Charleston. And this is the most informal kind of restaurant. It's an old-fashioned oyster roast. The oysters are cooked under burlap on a fire, and they are quite literally served to you using a garden shovel. They shovel up a bunch of these cooked oysters and toss them onto your table, and you just eat to your heart's content. Needless to say, it's not a fancy restaurant. There's no maitre d', there's no menu, but it's just, if you like oysters, it's heaven.
Now, you guys have been doing this for 35 years, if my math is correct here, and you just sound as enthusiastic about it as ever. Do you ever kind of go, oh, another oyster shack. We got to eat all these.
No, we never do. And part of it is because we kind of like to get on our soapbox. We had a friend who just went to France for the first time, and I asked her where she ate, and she said, every time we passed a McDonald's, we stopped at it. And I thought, and you were in France? And you know, and that's enough of a crime. But people, when they travel in the United States, they eat at the highway rest stops, where five miles off the highway, there may be the greatest regional food you will ever find. So we want people to go there.
Well, now, and that's interesting because we're going to get into Southern food specifics here, but I was on a road trip recently doing a lecture tour, heading down to Tallahassee and just driving right across the Southeast. And what depressed me was at the big intersections, all I saw were chain fast food places. And it really sort of indicated to me it was a poor part of the country, and people just, when they go out, they have a Subway sandwich or a Burger King or something like this. Can you, even in these kind of places where it seems like it's one big depressing strip mall, can you always find an alternative that represents mom and pop local cuisine?
That's sort of what our life work has been about.
Sometimes it's not so easy. And in fact, sometimes you just don't find it. And that's why road food, I think, has been successful, is that people really need a guide to those places. I'll tell you one trick that we have found that is essential. you don't go to those places near the major intersections. You get off the main road and go through town. I mean, whatever the main right. street of town may be. And hopefully there will be the town cafe where locals
exactly.
eat.
Exactly. Well, almost everywhere these days, you know, you've got the peripheral road that takes all the traffic, and that would be the new road, and it would have the new strip malls and the fast food places. But if you go into town, that's where you'd find the places that were there before the new road came.
Hopefully.
And
yes.
if you can't get a copy of Road Food, our greatest tip is go get a haircut, because barbers in small towns know everything. And
love to talk about
and
it.
And love to talk
perfect,
about it.
Perfect. I'm talking with Jane and Michael Stern. We're talking Road Food. We're celebrating the arrival of their new 9th edition of their book, Road Food. Okay, let's head into the South then. What are the basic foundations of good road food in the Deep South?
Well, let's start with fried chicken. not that there isn't excellent fried chicken elsewhere, and believe me, people from Kansas City are going to slit my throat when I say that the South is where you want to go for great fried chicken, because there is superb fried chicken in Kansas City. But throughout the South, what's interesting there is sort of what I was saying before about barbecue. There are such different styles of fried chicken. Mm-hmm. There's the pan fried chicken. Nashville, for example, has a style of fried chicken all its own. They call it hot fried chicken. And when I say hot, I'm not referring to the temperature. I'm referring to the spice level.
I think this is an interesting issue, the idea of what do we mean when we want hot chicken? And John is calling in right now from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
John, what's your take on spicy chicken?
Well, let me tell you, Rick, I've been to Prince's Hot Chicken in Nashville many times. The first time I went, I walked up and the lady said, "What's your order?" And they make everything to order. There's no chicken laying around just to give you. And I said, "I'd like, you know, a hot quarter." She said, "Is this your first time?" I said, "Yes, it is." She goes, "You're not getting hot. You're getting medium." The medium was flamethrower hot.
Was it good?
Best fried chicken I've ever had.
Really?
And I think they use cayenne pepper, and they dredge it, you know, to different levels.
And also hot sauce, because after it's fried, it's dipped into hot sauce.
That's the secret. They fry the chicken first. By the way, Prince's is on the Road Food Honor Roll, one of the top 100.
Oh, there you go.
They fry the chicken first, and then they quickly baste it with this hot sauce and different levels of hot sauce. As the caller said, medium is ferocious. I can't imagine somebody eating hot or extra hot.
Jane and Michael, when you go to a restaurant like Prince's and you go, "Man, this is good," do you then follow up by letting them know who you are and going back into the kitchen and asking them questions so you can explain to people why this is so distinctive?
We wait till after we write them up, and then we will send them a copy of the book.
But do you ask right there, even if you don't let them know who you are, do you?
Yeah, we try and pry some secrets loose. It's very hard to get them, though.
Right.
Is that right?
We
so you can't
questions.
Just be Joe Blow in a little roadside restaurant and say, "How do you make this chicken so tasty?" They really they're not comfortable telling you that?
The answer to that is we cook it just right.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I mean, in general, especially for recipes like fried chicken, where basically it's a very simple recipe, but, you know, the subtleties are what make it different and special. A lot of cooks are not willing to share their recipes.
Right.
Especially in Nashville, where there are probably
very
8 or 10 different
yes.
restaurants that all compete to make the very best.
John, thanks for the appetizing tips there.
Thank you.
Happy eating.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye-bye.
And before we leave fried chicken, give me your insights into chicken with waffles and the syrup. To me, the syrup is what really gets it over the top. I love the syrup when it comes to chicken with waffles.
Well, that's a major issue. And in fact, you had earlier talked about going to Tallahassee. There's a place in Tallahassee called Olean's, which is a great breakfast place. The specialty there is chicken and waffles. And the big issue is, do you want it with syrup or do you want it with gravy? And it can go either way.
Yeah, but the syrup has some kind of liquid. Is it brandy in it, or what's in the syrup?
It differs from place to place. We were just
bourbon.
In Eden.
That's it. Bourbon. It has bourbon.
Bourbon. Oh, that makes anything fabulous.
Oh, I've had syrup, and I just go, "What is with this?" And they go,
"It's
bourbon."
It's fabulous. We were just in Eatonville, Florida, at the Zora Neale Hurston Festival, and we went to a place in a little soul food cafe. And they had red velvet waffles with fried chicken and bourbon sauce on it. Oh,
that was mighty good.
Oh, nice. Katie's calling in from Vancouver in British Columbia. Katie, you've been south of the border and doing some eating on your road tripping?
Yeah, my family and I are going on a road trip next month. We're starting in Atlanta, driving down to Tampa, going over to St. Augustine and up to Savannah, and I was wondering if there are any special restaurants I shouldn't miss or any good tips for
anything on the honor roll. Now Jane and Michael have the honor roll, so I bet you could just kind of go right through your honor roll list.
Well, I'll tell you, on the honor roll in Atlanta, you want to go to Mary Mac's Tea Room. It's been there since mid-20th century, and it's an old-fashioned Southern-style tea room. You can get a bowl of pot liquor there, which if you don't know pot liquor, it's greens and all the liquid that you cook the greens in. It's the most salubrious kind of soup you will ever have.
And they're famous fried chicken.
Mary Mac's is famous for its fried chicken, exactly.
Oh.
In Tampa, you want to go to a place called La Terracita. It's a coffee shop with mostly counter seating, Cuban sandwich, and cafe con leche. Mm. Terrific. St. Augustine has its own style of chowder made with datal peppers, which are grown only in and around St. Augustine. Very spicy clam chowder. They also have fabulous shrimp. That's like the shrimping capital of the United States around there. And Savannah, you want to go to, what's the great boarding house in Savannah? Mrs. Wilkes' boarding house. It's like old-fashioned boarding house style eating. Pass the plate to your neighbor and a boarding house reach is perfectly acceptable at the table.
So talk more a little bit about the boarding houses. There's actually still restaurants that sort of try to keep this style of serving food alive, or what is
yes,
a boarding house?
Yes, there are a handful. Where
are they retro
really
places
great.
Intentionally? I mean, it's just sort of a gimmick?
No, they've existed for many decades. And there's one in Macomb, Mississippi called the Dinner Bell. And what's great is that you sit at big communal tables, so you're always seated with strangers, maybe
big,
10
big
or 12
round,
of you.
Round tables that have like Lazy Susans in the middle of them.
Oh, nice.
And all the food is set out in the Lazy Susan, and you spin the Lazy Susan and grab what you want. And what's great is these are always all-you-can-eat affairs. So if the big bowl of biscuits starts getting low, they bring out a new bowl of biscuits. And
now,
would
the people sitting at this table sharing this Lazy Susan, would they be locals whose parents probably came there also, or would they be
absolutely
tourists coming through?
Well, that's what's great. It's a combination of locals who have been eating there since they were children and their families, as well as tourists, because it's a great opportunity for people to share their experiences on the road. I can't tell you how many great tips we have gotten at those roundtable dining.
You know what I remember? We were at the Mendenhall Hotel in Mendenhall, Mississippi, and as I often do, I spilled a bunch of food on my shirt, and the local who was sitting next to me owned the dry cleaner, and he dry cleaned my shirt for free, which I thought was quite wonderful.
That's going local. Hey, Katie, thanks for your call.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Jane and Michael Stern are taking us around the South right now on Travel with Rick Steves with their top picks for classic American road food. The 9th edition of their classic road food guide is out, and it's been newly expanded to cover 900 of what they call the best barbecue joints, lobster shacks, ice cream parlors, highway diners, and other authentic comfort food establishments across the USA. You can find photos of their favorite dishes, reviews from fellow diners, and self-guided road food touring itineraries on their website. It's roadfood.com. And we're looking for your road food tips to share with us at 877-333-RICK. Rob's calling in from Gainesville in Georgia. Rob, thanks for your call.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm a big fan of road food and Rick Steves.
Thank you.
Double pleasure. I work in South Carolina, and they are very proud of being home to four different types of barbecue. What are your favorite barbecue restaurants and your favorite styles? You know, here in the state, or if you have to, across the border in North Carolina.
So Georgia obviously is the best place then, right, Rob?
Actually, I wish.
South Carolina.
I think Rob is right. South Carolina and North Carolina for Southern-style barbecue are the place. We won't even talk about Texas because that's a whole other world of barbecue.
Right.
But
I've got memories.
Of the brisket and sausage in Texas? It's stupendous. But that's different.
Martinez
that's beef.
Is in Velder. Joel's just off the interstate.
And Salt Lick and Driftwood? Okay, well, let's get back to the Carolinas. Personally, what I like is the kind of barbecue that they have in central South Carolina with that kind of, it's whole hog pork. You know, it's not just the shoulder, it's the whole hog. You get like the crisp bits of skin and the very tender parts with a slight, very subtle kind of mustardy barbecue sauce. It's not at all ketchupy and it's not vinegary like you'd get up in parts of North Carolina, but it's got that kind of mustard twang that I think goes so great with all the great side dishes that they always serve.
That sounds good.
Okay. Any examples of that?
Duke's.
That you'd like to recommend?
There are many restaurants named Duke's because the Duke's family has been in barbecue forever. But the Duke's outside of Aiken, South Carolina, it's actually near the Georgia border, had one of the best buffets I've ever been to in terms of barbecue.
There you go, Rob. Thanks for your call.
Okay, thanks.
Take care. Enjoy your barbecue.
I will.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're eating our way across the United States with Jane and Michael Stern. Their new edition of Road Food is out. And Jane and Michael, we just got a short time left, but I'm going to just list a few specialties in the South. And if you can just give me your thumbnail take on each of these when we're traveling in the Deep South. Pig sandwiches.
Memphis. The pig sandwich was actually invented in Memphis. And what you mean by a pig sandwich is chopped barbecue with some really spicy, zesty, kind of sweet hot sauce, topped with cool coleslaw in a bun.
Ah, nice.
That's a pig sandwich.
How about Cajun boudin sausage?
Ah, we're talking about southern Louisiana here. And what's cool about boudin is that it's made by probably several hundred different little butchers, slaughterhouses, grocery stores. There's no big name in boudin.
Nice.
And all of these places serve it by the link, and most of them have no place to eat, so you buy a link, go out to your car, and eat it off the dashboard.
And there's boudin blanc, boudin rouge, and boudin noir, which has blood in it, but it's quite good.
And then what state do we focus on that? It's just Louisiana?
That's southern Louisiana.
All right. Creamy grits.
Creamy grits are important. It's important to know many people who go south have grits for breakfast on the side of their eggs, and they're all kind of watery and bland, and why would anyone like them? Well, if you go to South Carolina, especially around Charleston, you get what they call creamy grits, where they're long cooked, not with water, but with milk or cream. So they become as rich as the best polenta you ever ate. And they could be plain, just buttery, cheesy, or best of all, served as the foundation for a plate of barbecued shrimp.
And Jane, when you're looking for a Creole po' boy, what do you do?
I go to New Orleans, of course. Gosh, there are so many wonderful ones. I think Mother's in New Orleans I love because they have something called a debris sandwich, or as they say it down there, debris. And it's basically all the burnt ends, and it's the junk or the stuff from the roast that falls at the bottom of the pan, and it's scraped up and put on a length of French bread, and it is just so wonderful.
That sounds good. That was a highlight for me when I was in New Orleans also. How about meat and three?
That's a whole style of eating throughout the Mid-South where you go to the restaurant, there's a list of maybe two or three meats and at least a dozen, sometimes 20 or 30 different vegetables. So you pick your meat, let's say fried chicken, and then you pick from among collard greens, pole beans, black-eyed peas, macaroni and cheese, of course, my favorite southern vegetable.
Spoon bread,
et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, now we've been talking road food with Jane and Michael Stern, kind of celebrating the new edition, the ninth edition of Road Food, listing 900 places to pull off the highway and really get a little tasty dose of the local culture. Let's finish this discussion off letting each of you, Jane and Michael, share your best dessert. When you're on a road trip and doing your hard work as you've been doing for 30 years now, where do you pull off and where do you want to get your best dessert in the South?
Well, since we're talking about the South, I would want to pull off in Atlanta and go to a place called the Silver Skillet. It's an old-fashioned 1950s diner.
Oh, that was mine. You stole it.
So, well, okay, what we would both have there is the lemon icebox pie. It may not sound so special, but once you've had, this is dessert of the gods. It is so good. The problem is they make one or two of these per day, and oftentimes by 11:30 in the morning, they're out of it.
Jane and Michael Stern, you guys, your enthusiasm for this, it's inspiring. I want to get on the road and just go somewhere and work up an appetite and pull out your book. Thanks so much.
We have room in our back seat.
We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Bye-bye, Rick.
Thanks, Rick.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Europe Through the Back Door in Edmonds, Washington by Tim Tatton with Sarah McCormick and Isaac Kaplan-Wolner. Thanks to our colleagues at WSHU in Fairfield, Connecticut for studio help this week. You can listen again on demand and find guest information in the details for each week's show. You'll find it in the radio section of ricksteves.com. And we'll look for you again next week with more Travel with Rick Steves.